And we are back with another bonus episode of the Appliance Educator Podcast. Z-Line joins us to go in deeper with renowned chef Mark Esty. Dig in for more of the blossoming relationship between two major players in the home cooking industry.
So I guess maybe we can start off with, you know, who is Mark Esty? You know, he's obviously one of the most famous chefs in our area here in Northern Nevada. He is the chef, actually. He's got a restaurant around every corner.
Right. I'll probably say I'm probably the best chef this side of the table. And I don't think you can see me, which is good for you all, but I'm the only person on this side of the table. So I'm the only person on this side. So, you know, one, you know, Z-Line, and this is, you know, I'm always going to be, I hope this is not the first time and the last time I'm on it. This is the first time I'm on it, but I'm going to always talk about, you know, I'm not here pitching things, but I believe in this company. I believe in what you guys are doing here, and I'm honored to be part of it. And so I'll give it from a perspective of what I think, what I know through my experience. You know, I've been doing this for close to 30 years, and, you know, this is a great opportunity, and we'll talk about it later. But, you know, the whole entire culinary and world has changed in the last 13 months for sure, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're trying to figuring out exactly what we're doing right now. And I think for me, you know, that's kind of how I came to cooking. You know, that's what I figured out. What was I about? Like, I'm from Boston, as you can tell from my accent. But, you know, I played college football. I was, you know, never thought about being my parents were like, you're never going to go to culinary school. We want you to go to regular college, get a 4-year degree, right? What a waste of time and money for me. So I really ended up going to school for 3 years and then quitting and going to Johnson & Wales, right? And that's back in 1990. So I'm dating myself. I just turned 50. But in 1990, it wasn't cool to be a chef. It was like, you know, there was Mel's Diner. It might have been like the Frugal Gourmet on PBS. You know, the Food Network was so far away. Emeril wasn't even out with his BAM yet, or any of those things were there.
Okay.
So it was just a case of kind of like, I knew what I wanted to do. I could relate. I relate a lot of things to sports. And, you know, being on a football team and especially playing quarterback was definitely, I likened it to being a chef and a restaurant person. And I just knew, once I got into there, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. You know, this is my first day in a real restaurant, my first day at culinary school. I was like, I called my parents, I was crying. I'm like, I'm home. This is it. This is where I'm supposed to be. Because before that, I was a big loser. I really was. I had 1,000 different jobs. I was lazy. My parents were worried about me. They're like, you're going to amount to nothing. What the heck's wrong with you? Come on, get your game together here. And I just was looking for what I was loving. You know, I was like, I wasn't going to play pro football. I was wicked good at Nintendo, but, you know, that was, there was no esports back then.
Yeah, yeah. That's now a really good career track.
Tecmo Bowl, taking down a few people, right?
Okay.
So, you know, and then I found cooking, you know, and I started as a dishwasher. I worked my way up and, you know, have had a bunch of failures and successes and continue to kind of strive to be better every day. And I love what I do. And I wake up every morning with a huge zest for life and jumping out of bed and I'm ready to go. And people used to tell me 30 years ago, you better slow down. You're going to burn out. And I was like, well, probably not. I really love what I do. So, you know, it's a, and you know, getting to Reno and coming to Reno and coming to Northern Nevada has been a phenomenal journey.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, just kind of talking about the past 13 months here with the pandemic, most restaurant owners have either lost their business or have made some serious transitions and difficult decisions.
Yeah.
You want to kind of walk us through that? How many restaurants do you own or are you a part of?
Right now on June 1st, we'll have 10 locations. And right now we have 7. And so it's been, I would like to say that we did the pivot and we pivoted pretty well. I can tell you, we had a couple really easy steps to follow. They were very difficult to do, but we knew back on, if it was like, I think it was like March, like around 10th, 11th. I remember the Ides of March being the 15th was a big day for us, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of shut everything down between 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And what we did is we had 222 employees. We brought everybody in each restaurant. I brought all our managers, all our partners. We all sat down, we all had laptops. We told everybody, hey, we're shutting everything down. And we're going to help you all get on the portal right now. We got everyone onto unemployment right away. We literally spent 8 hours with everybody getting them on. If we didn't get them on, we figured it out. We stayed. We tracked everything. And by the time we were done 5 days later, all 222 people were on the portal. We closed everything down. We gave them all the food to take home. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know when we were coming back. We didn't exactly know what the heck was going on. We just knew that we had to follow the rules. We knew we wanted to be out and ahead of everything for everybody. We wanted to be safe because we knew this was a big deal. You know, we just didn't know how big of a deal it was going to be. So once we closed everything down, took a few minutes, took a few breaths, was like, looked around, was like, what the heck is going on, you know? And then we kind of got to the pivot, you know, what was going to happen here? How are we going to serve our community? I got involved with this thing called Feed Our Heroes. which was, I was one of the founding people with people from Round's Bakery and Granite Street, some great people, a lot of restaurant people came together. Yeah. Some people ran scared, you know, and God bless them, but they ran scared, you know, that you got to be able to be, I've been through hell and back a few different times. You know, this was a worldwide pandemic. You know, I've had my good times and my bad times. So I knew how to handle the bad stuff. You know, so I kind of actually, when it gets tougher, I get a little better usually. Like I keep my head about me pretty well. And, you know, I just kind of steered the ship and people looked to me as a leader and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep positive attitude. We're going to play nice with everybody like we always do. We're going to see what we can do to help. We're going to be smart about the things we say yes to. We're going to be strategic about the things we say no to. And, you know, we started with this Feed Our Heroes. We were doing it for free. We ended up getting some money. And then we went on to this thing called Nevada Hip, which we got some sponsorship dollars for. And we started feeding people for free out of a back dock of Liberty in downtown Reno. You know, during that period there, I was reached out to by the Lieutenant Governor and Michael Bergier from the United Way. So Kate Marshall, Lieutenant Governor Kate Marshall, was an unbelievable woman and a great politician. She's just so smart and so caring. And we jumped into this thing. We're still doing it right now. It's called Feed Our Heroes. It's a Food Heroes. And it's like this unbelievable thing. We're working with the United Way. It's called Delivering with Dignity. And what we do is we provide meals right now only one day a week for about 600 different people, 600 meals for about 250 different people. Wow. And these are meals that are going out and they're funded by our government and funded by private donations. And it's going to probably run to an end coming on June 1st. But we were able to feed close to 350,000 people. Down in Vegas, they tripled that. And it started in Vegas and they brought it up to Northern Nevada. They brought us on. You know, and just being available and being willing to jump in and help with that was, you know, did we get a whole bunch of money for the meals? No, $6 a meal. It's pretty good, though. Kept four of our people employed. And then we started to kind of come back, right? We opened the store. We started doing sales. You know, we started doing pizzas to go. And every slowly but surely, we started kind of bringing that together. So 6 months in, you know, we're looking a little bit better. We're following all the rules. We're doing all the right things. And we've been able to kind of grow from there.
That's amazing. So just to get this straight, you know, so the pandemic hits your restaurants, closes them down.
222 employees laid off.
Yeah. Wow. And you're like, well, how do I donate food?
Yeah. How could I take care of my employees?
Wow.
Yeah. Keep people working, keep them paid.
Yeah. Well, give them something because we didn't know what the hell was going on. You know? I think a lot of them really were grateful that we were honest.
Yeah.
They were grateful that we helped them get on. We got a lot of street cred, or we call it social capital, that with our people because we took care of them. We actually sat down and literally I was calling the unemployment office for like 15 different people. And I found somebody who became a great friend and we, you know, via email and we were like, had direct access to somebody to make sure all these little cases got fixed. And some people had some issues and we floated them money. And then we started people just putting money in our tills and giving money. We just kind of handed it out to the employees upon needs. And, you know, I don't know if you know anything about restaurants, but it's not the most lucrative business in the world. If you want to make $1 million, start with 10. And we'll lose 9. So it wasn't like we had a whole bunch of money sitting around. I know myself and my partners, we just were like, okay, we'll figure us out later. At the time, there's no owner unemployment. So we just kind of figured it. We just kind of went to work and figured it out and slowly but surely. And, you know, sometimes knock on wood, you know, hopefully we come out of it better than we went into it. The government assistance programs are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, give credit to that being there and give credit to our fearless CEO. Our CFO, excuse me, Tanya McCaffrey, she just knows how to work that and kick ass. She kicks ass.
I mean, I've seen you at your restaurant working and your employees like really give a shit about you. They're moving and grooving with you.
Two-way street, right? So, you know, I think good leaders lead and from being down there with them. And, you know, I learned over the years to work. I used to work all the time in my business, but I'm trying to work on my business now. But you still have to be in the business to work on it. You know, like you need to be connected to what's going on down there. So, you know, I love it when I'm taking out the trash or something and someone's like, oh, is Mark Esty here?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And like, oh, geez, you're taking out the trash? I'm like, yeah, what do you think I'm doing? Sit in my office, count my money? You know, like, it's kind of crazy.
It's cool.
It's funny the perception sometimes that people have of different things, you know. Yeah. But, you know, this business is become, you know, over 30 years when I started, when everyone thought it was a stupid idea. Now it's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. Everyone wants to be a chef now.
Yeah.
And look at these beautiful home cooks that we're creating, helping home cooks create. And that's really what I'm passionate about joining you all is being able to really help home cooks kind of elevate their game, which will then keep us going in the restaurants. You know,
it's like, for sure.
I love cooking at home. I love simple meals at home with the family and the kids. And, you know, why shouldn't everyone enjoy that? Because if everyone eats well at home and they go out to eat, they eat even better. right?
For sure.
So if they don't eat well at home, sometimes you go out to eat and it's like, okay, McDonald's or Burger King, right? So if if we keep pushing that, and I'm so in love with like cooking for kids and helping kids like that, because people say, well, I just did a gig with this 22 freshman in high school from a different bunch of different high schools on Monday night at the back of Liberty. I put some grills in the alley. We grilled out. And people were like, why would you take like all that time and do that? And I said, because I'm building our next round of chefs, and I'm building the next round of customers. You know, there is a long term thing right there, right? So there are customers, like they love Liberty now. They're like asking me all my restaurants. They want to come to them. They're gonna say hi. They want to bring their girlfriends there, have prom dates there, whatever it may be. Is Z-Land in Costco yet?
I think I actually can talk about this. We're moving into
Costco. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, we're moving into Costco.
Woo! Yeah, this summer. Yeah.
So this is exciting. So what we're doing is we're doing a 6 week. Because Costco has these limited things, right? When you go into Costco, you're like, oh, that's a sick chair. Like, I want to buy that chair. And then you're like, well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. And then I come back a week later and the chair's gone. I'm like, hey, where's that chair? I've been thinking about this chair all week. I want to buy this chair.
Right.
Oh, we're all sold out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. So we're going to do one of those things, right? So we're going to do this with a range and a hood. Mm-hmm. So a range and a hood, it's a combo. So you do that perfect kitchen, kitchen combo.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it for 6 weeks. And
I love it.
And it's going to be direct to consumer. Yeah. Shipped right to your door.
Hey, maybe I'll come in there and do a little cooking demo on one, right? We can roast a chicken or something like that.
This is huge. Yeah. So it's called a road show. So we're also talking about Costco road shows.
Yeah.
That would be killer.
I've been on one of those before.
Have you? Well, we have this used car salesman upstairs on our vendor team called Steven Sage.
Yeah.
And this guy's dream is to just, sell bootleg shit wherever he can go.
Yeah.
And so if we could throw him into Costco and sell some of our stuff, this guy, this is his dream. This is his life's purpose.
Perfect.
He's going to be aces.
I've got to wear one of those really cool hats they wear over there, Tasters handout,
Yes.
Want to try my sausages? Yeah, it'd be delicious.
We're going to get Steve just corralling people in Costco.
That'd be
Like a shepherd. Like he's going to be like one of those dogs, just circling people.
And then you always have that Costco deal, right? So it's going to be like the extra large range, like so big, like it's ridiculous. Like, I love that.
Stop the guy with the 72 rolls of TP in his cart and be like, get on this range.
Right? Seriously. Yeah. Seriously.
Absolutely. Well,
that's great. We didn't even know about that. Wow, look at that. Huh?
Yeah, totally. No, we bought a whole bunch of TP at Costco too. We actually filled our whole garage up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when people were running out of TP, I said, nope, we don't have any.
Yeah.
You weren't trying to get on the market.
I'm totally joking. But it was a real situation. We actually went to go get toilet paper and couldn't find any.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. I know we all ran into this, but it's wild.
Right now it's glassware. So if you try to salsa jars, jars, all bottles for beers, et cetera, you can't really find right now.
Interesting.
Because they use them all for the COVID vaccines. And they'll melt and stuff.
All the glass production.
Yeah, like ball jars for the little bell jars for like our Budinos and stuff like that. We had to kind of change over. So
wow.
Hey guys, Drew from the Appliance Educator Podcast here, and I just wanted to take a minute out to talk about our amazing sponsor, Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. You've heard the guests and the hosts talk about this amazing brand and all the attainable luxury that they create right here in the heart of Lake Tahoe, USA. From freestanding ranges to ventilation, dishwasher, and microwave, to everything you'll need to complete your next bathroom project, Z-Line Kitchen and Bath is bringing luxury into your next project.
Amazing. I think the one thing that I'm going to push Z-Line on is that I've cooked on this before, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here. But like the idea is that you have really precise controls, and that's the best part. You have options, right? So if I'm doing a slow sear, then I'm going to use the smaller one. If I'm doing a hard sear and I need to be quick, I'm going to use the bigger burner, right? And if I'm going to do something that's just going to simmer and I want to forget about it, then I'm going to put it on the simmer, forget about it side, right? And if sometimes it's great because if you're doing something that's a little bit more complex and you're going to make a couple sauces, you might make your sauces and you put them on the really low, kind of really low, extra low simmer setting, let it sit, and you trust the fact that it's not going to burn. And that's really what you want to get down to. You want to be able to trust your stove. You want to know your stove as intimately as you know your shower head and your sink faucet and whatever else you do.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have said any better. That's really how we approach design of our products is functionality. Yeah. And it's cool to have you on the podcast, actually hearing your experience with that product. That's cool to hear from an actual chef. Yeah. Well, we have a couple of our production engineers in the room, too. Daniel Britton is one of them. This guy is like a flame guy. Okay. So he's huge into flames.
Okay.
He's basically a pyro. He was born a pyro.
Nice.
And so we were out doing a photo shoot. Maddie was there, too. He's also in the room. He's our videographer here. And we were shooting flames. Were we DP? You were there.
Yeah. I think they were testing out some different techniques, like behind the ranges. Like, let's do, when you decided, like, hey, why don't we just home build a few different flamethrowers, blow torches, and kind of do the shoot from there.
Yeah, we're basically blowing up our range, or trying to blow it up.
Yeah.
And, it survived. It survived. And then Andy, the owner of Z-Line, was saying, you know, I don't think it's a very good look if we're trying to like blow up our stuff.
Right? Yeah, there was some concern about the flame and the range. There was concern about the flame
and the range, but I think that we could probably, you know, pull it off if we could do some of this lye pretzel and just goes awry. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's a great show. Isn't that cool? That's like, can I get those BTUs, right? It's like, that is really cool. Didn't Elon Musk create a flamethrower or something?
Yes. Yeah. But it's basically just one of those, you know, it's like a glorified lighter, really. It's not really
I'll put up with Dan built against Elon's
torch. Yeah, you can buy a torch at Home Depot.
Yeah, they had the Searsol. Well, we use torches for brulees and stuff, but the Searsol came out for a while. It's really hot. It's David Chang was pushing it. But it was a it was like a little mini wheat burner, if you will. So it went on a butane torch at the end, and it came out and it seared, so you can get a nice sear by just kind of laying it on there. But
so what would be like a Mark Esty signature product? Like if you could come up with any product that you like, I wish I had this in the kitchen, what would be your go-to?
Mine would probably be related to something with pasta. You know, just like whether it was a certain way to cut it so you can make fresh pasta and not have to go through the process of cutting it. So a pasta press, maybe a chitarra, which is like a cool little thing you kind of can cut spaghetti really thin on, or, you know, the guitar strings. I just love pasta. I think pasta is really fun for kids. Roll out pasta, cooking pasta properly. That is like one of my favorite things to cook and make.
What's your big key for pasta?
Use great flour.
How do you differentiate normal flour versus...
Durum wheat, there's so many great flours out there now. It used to all come from Italy, but right now, America, we have some unbelievable, especially in California, some unbelievable kind of people copying basically the Italian way of cooking, making flour. It's no GMOs, organic. So there's no GMOs basically are organic, right? But certified organic could be good, but no GMO is going to make the, no model, you know, it's just real true wheat, and different wheats react in different ways. You know, there's 5,000 types of wheat, and, you know, using the right ones for pasta, they have certain gluten and they have certain elasticity. They take hydration different points. You know, there's really kind of fun things, especially with pizza dough, you know. So we have the hydration points, like you can go anywhere from 55% to 95%. 95% hydration is like soup. We do a lot of things with fermented flours and fermented doughs, which really add different flavor and taste, and, you know, slow fermenting versus fast fermenting versus, you know, just keeping it organic and natural ingredients.
So I've done some beer brewing. Oh, yeah. Right? I know that you are just been involved in a new brewery.
Great Basin Brewing Company that we'll be rocking over there starting June 1st.
This is exciting because their beers are great. Their food is something you desired. And that's the idea, right? You're going to be part of that food.
Yeah, we're going to be part of the whole project with those guys.
And also the brewing as well.
It's in our mind, it's going great, so it's going to keep it going.
Killer.
Yeah.
What's your go-to beer, Chef?
My favorite beer to drink?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Icky IPA.
You're an IPA
guy. There we go.
I seasonally, right? So, it depends on the time. I mean, I love all our local brewers. We have some unbelievable breweries out there. You know, I love the guys at Brewers Cabinet and all the products they're doing. I'm really a fan of the Redheaded Stranger from Brothers St. James, which I'm really happy to see them back up and running, right? The Depot has some really great beers. We have so many great distilleries around. Shoe Tree is really creative. There are neighbors out in Carson City. We have a brewery down there, the Union, one of our restaurants in Carson City.
Union actually brews on site?
And we're working with Great Basin. They've been our partners in that. They've been helping us. So.
Oh, tremendous.
That's how we kind of came together. So we have some cool things planned.
Have you thought about like an organic take on a beer? Is that something that you guys have discussed, you know, with the hops and what goes into it? So like the grains you're talking about?
More so local. Okay. So we're working right now with Bentley. We have a beer in the works called, I think it's going to be called Ocale. And everything's going to be from right in the region, right down on Bentley's property, which is in Minden and Gardnerville.
Okay.
So I'm going to bring over everything from there. We're also working with David Park, where eventually he'll be growing a lot of our ingredients. Hops actually grow pretty well around here. There was a couple hop projects around here. So
over the last year, we've all been at home. We're trying to cook. Some of us are, some of us aren't, but we're trying. And, you know, our palates are developing. Food is kind of shut down, but we're getting ready to come back. What do you see on the horizon? I mean, it sounds like people are going to come out with a little more sophisticated palate, but definitely that appetite to get back out there and eat some good food.
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think some people think that the whole entire service industry is ended and, you know, now you can be, and I read articles talking about like, now it's the service industry's turn to kind of stick it to the customer. And I'm like, well, that's the wrong way, right?
So yeah, how to go out of business,
right?
In 90 days.
Yeah, exactly, why would
right?
you?
Well, it's like crazy. That's just crazy to me. I'm like, I got into this business of hospitality, right? Like, we want to take care of people, we want to make people feel comfortable, we want to make people taken care of. And now more than ever, right? Maybe there's been a case where maybe some customers, maybe, you know, I've seen something where maybe some of the Yelpers have slowed down a little bit. Maybe everyone's kind of taking a step back and be like, okay, let's take a chill pill here. Like, what's really going on? Like, what's really important, right? I know they're trying their best to make the best food they can. I know the servers are trying their best to be the best servers they can. I know that we're trying to do everything the best we possibly can. So let's give each other a little grace. The same way that as we started to come back, right? It was like we had to train all our servers how to come back. We had to train our cooks how to act. We also had to train our customers how to act. We had to remember people to, like, just take a time out. Let's just all relax. We're all in this together. You know, and if we apply those same things there, I see our restaurant industry in general only becoming better, right? You know, I'm sure there's people out there that are going to not reopen, and, you know, maybe that's some attrition that happens out there. Maybe we need to cull it a little bit. I don't know. It's not my place. I know that we're going to keep on trying the best we can. We're going to keep on telling people that if they want any help, we're here to help them. And we're going to keep on loving our customers. We're going to keep on loving our employees. We're going to keep on providing the best hospitality we possibly can, giving everyone the best experience we possibly can. And hopefully everyone just enjoys a little bit more, because now we're going to be back out, and we were gone for so long. And now as we start to reopen, let's be smart. Let's be kind. Let's give the customers a break. Like, let's let them. That's the biggest thing we taught our people. We actually didn't reopen right away. We took an extra 5 days to do role play and pretend we were customers. And we just let our people learn to give the customer some space, because they didn't know how to act because they were stuck at home. My mask is on and my mask is off. Should I touch this? Should I be wearing gloves? Am I in a bubble? Am I not in a bubble? Are you doing this? Am I watching you? Are you watching me? Like, all those things, and just kind of like giving everybody a little space. You know, let's all take a deep breath. Let's all a little ease and grace. And I think that we can come back stronger in all our businesses, in all our areas, in our families, in our lives. And let's cook more at home, and let's eat out more, and let's enjoy a lot of different things out there. And, you know, maybe we don't have to worry about capitalizing on all the things that are out there. Or maybe we find out what's really important to us, right? And that's could be the best case we could possibly run into.
Kind of a slowdown and appreciation of quality, yeah. And kind of, yeah, being in the moment and, yeah, appreciating when you're dining out for, yeah, what it is, and appreciate it when you're cooking at home.
When you're cooking at home, right? Yeah. Enjoying it, slowing down, and not trying to overthink the whole entire thing.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Chef, we're going to have you back, because there's so many more things I want to pick, yeah, your brain on. Yeah. I'm going to go kind of full circle, though. Yeah. I mean, you kind of hit on a lot of great things today, from bringing kind of like your quarterbacking mentality into the kitchen. And that's just what lit the fire under you to love food. And I'd say bring you to where you're at. One thing, you know, Mark, you and I have kind of known, right, each other for a little, yeah, while now. One question I had that I want to ask you about was just like your attitude to getting things done. And just as someone I've seen, and we've kind of brushed elbows in the past,
yeah,
of, you say yes and you make opportunities happen, right, and you're always ready to kind of put another thing on the plate.
Right.
I'd love to have you kind of go out today on what is that that inspires you? What about that is your philosophy?
I'd probably say my parents are really great people, and my dad was not a risk taker. My mom was a risk taker, right? So then I got a little bit of both in there. I'm surrounded by great people right now in my life. My girlfriend, her kids, my family, my boys, my business partners, Tommy, Nick, Tanya, David, you know, I definitely have like the things that I like to do and that I'm good at, and that I'm some things I'm not that good at. And, you know, I have always taken it with the fact that, like, I always was willing to take the bad stuff, you know, and I'm always willing to eat that bad stuff. And then when the good stuff comes, you know, that's nice too. So I never really, here's my go out one. Okay. And we can get into this for 40 hours later, but it's like, I never listened when everyone said I was the greatest person in the world. So then because of that, I never have to listen when they say I'm the worst person in the world. I just want to be right in the middle. I don't want to be God. I don't want to be dog. I just want to be right in the middle, you know? And so that's why I wake up every day. I put my shoes on, put my pants on, take a shower, kiss my lady, you know, loving the kids, take 2 minutes, thank God for what I got, right? And then go to work, you know? And I try to be smart about it. I try to be caring about it. I try to be a good leader. Again, I've been doing this for so long now. My role is different. In a perfect world, I'm washing dishes and cooking French fries. But I can't do that anymore. I'm the CEO of this company right now. It's a $20 million company. We have 10 restaurants. We're growing. We're doing different things. You know, I've got a bunch of different irons in the fire. I'm doing projects that I like to do. I'm doing projects with people I like. So I'm lucky enough to be able to do that, right? And I want to cook people that I like. I want to be involved with things that I respect and I like. So, you know, those are the choices that I make now. You know, during that time, 30 years ago, I'm not sure, I kind of did everything at that time. I said, sure, yes to everything. Now I say no to so many different things. And you don't believe it because I do so many different things, but
yeah.
I say no a lot, and pick the right things and use my partners as sounding boards. And then, you know, I know what my role is in our company, and I'm trying to live to that role, and I'm learning on a daily basis, you know, so. And it's just, that's the best part, right? Like, we can do something we love and we learn and we're passionate about it and we have a great work environment. And then you go home and you have a great home environment. I mean, I don't think there's anything better than that.
Well, we're all just visiting.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to ask Mark, you're kind of like, whether they say I'm the best or they say I'm the worst. So it sounds like you're not listening to them. What's the voice you're listening to? What's the most important voice?
You know, the probably the one that, and this is going to sound crazy, but I check in every morning and I check in every night with myself, right? So what I do good today, you know, what I do good today, what can I do better, right? And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, man, thank God I'm on the right side of the grass right now. And I go on and I just kind of try to listen to, you know, I just kind of try to follow my heart, rely on experiences, trust my gut to a certain degree. I also ask a lot of questions and try to trust the people around me. You know, before maybe I might have flown solo a little bit. Now I fly with a group and it's a lot better for me. You know, it's like I feel better. I feel protected. And, you know, I'd rather own 50 restaurants or with, you know, a bunch of partners than versus owning like, you know, two restaurants all alone. It's kind of boring.
Hell yeah.
You know, so it's more fun work with other people. I like that. Believe it or not, you know, some chefs can't work with a group. I love working with a group. Right? It's a lot, you know, it's for me, it lessens the stress a little bit and everyone has a role to play, right? So I play my role. I do exactly what I'm supposed to do. You know, and then I have some fun on the side.
That's like quarterback mentality. It's a
quarterback mentality. You got to be willing to take the good and the bad.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Chef, I just want to thank you for your time today. No, this has been an awesome conversation. And obviously, we've got a lot more to get into, so we'll definitely have you back.
Yeah.
Galen, I want to thank you, as always, for being on the cast. Some great contributions today. So,
some good, some bad.
You can do a little better.
You can do a little better. You
know, ask yourself tonight and tomorrow.
It'll be a dark, cold place.
He's usually
place
shooting
tonight.
Pretty hot.
I just really appreciate, you know, being on the podcast with both of you. You know, Mark, every time I get to spend some time with you, I learn something. I just really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, isn't that great, right? What Jimmy Valvano said, right? We all know Jimmy V. He said, like, if you move to tears, if you can laugh every day, if you can learn something every day, if you can be moved to tears, right? Your emotions get moved, right? It's like you better had a great day. Really, that's all there is to it. So I'm gonna cry on that.
No, this went to a deep emotional place, but I think it's fantastic. So,
I love it.
Yeah, thank you both for your time today.
This has been the Appliance Educator Podcast, brought to you by Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow at Appliance Educator for more tips and tricks and advice to keep your home running at optimal performance. If you have any ideas or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, leave us a comment. Appliance Educator, signing off.